Villagers of Pocking, Lancashire, were terrified one warm summer's evening when a mad gasser inserted his tube through the open bedroom windows of their children. As it transpired, it was only the local flasher and it was all a bit of harmless fun. Bedfordshire and the town of Maroon has been witness to unprecedented aerial explosions. The phenomena started early on November the 5th and continued well into the evening. Visiting relatives in Upton south of Glamorgan, Monty Specious was outraged when the golf ball that he had just hit rebounded off a small low-flying saucer on its way to the green. Despite rigorous investigations of the rules of golf, he was unable to claim an extra shot and was left contemplating the fact that we are not alone.
Tell me, Ronald, how you first came to realise that you had this gift.
Well, some call it a gift. I think it's a curse. A curse, that's what people call it. Although, if you ask me, it's a gift.
How did it start?
It happened one night. It was dark, like it often is. I was getting out of the bath, as I sometimes do. Suddenly, I noticed a pattern in the hair in the bottom of the bath. It was writing, curly writing. It said, "You didn't do your neck," and it was right. And that is when I realised I was getting messages.
From the other side?
Dead people. Although, sometimes I get ITV.
Admiral. I'm sorry to say we've made a slight error in our calculations with this asteroid business.
You have?
Yes. Jones here had 3x over 4 pi squared, whereas we all know it should be 2x over 4 pi squared.
I see. Professor Smith, forgive my ignorance, but what does this mean?
It means the asteroid is going to smash into the Earth after all and millions will die.
I see.
There is also some bad news, sir.
There is?
Well, we've calculated the precise point of impact of the asteroid, and it turns out it's your daughter.
My daughter?
Yes, we've run the calculation several times, but it seems that your daughter is the focus of all this.
I see. Could we not move her?
No, it doesn't make any difference. Those astrological Johnnies were right all along. It is determined at birth. Some people are born to be great. Others become great through their own efforts. And some are going to be hit by a massive asteroid.
Indeed.
There is one further possibility, sir.
Well, what's that?
Well, we could launch her into space. Obviously, it wouldn't save her, but millions of lives would be saved.
No, that is not an option. It is not an option.
No, of course, I understand.
Well, if that's all, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Well, you can't say we didn't try, Jones, but it looks as if you'll just have to tell him you've got her pregnant after all.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth, come quickly! You must be the first to witness my incredible new invention, the time machine.
Mr. Gantry?
What? Who are you?
I am a traveller from a distant time. Although you don't yet know it, your machine has a catastrophic effect on time. And in a move with parallels with the invasion of Iraq, I intend to stop you before you do anything.
The invasion of where? Ow! No! Wait! Take your hands off me! Where have you brought me, you infernal idiot?
My mission is to take you through time so that you can see for yourself the effects that your infernal meddling has had. Past, present, and future.
What? The Dickens?
Sort of, yes. This is the court of Queen Elizabeth I. Sir Walter Raleigh is about to return from his first galactic expedition. Now, get behind the curtain before you accidentally make the weekend start on a Saturday or something.
Your Majesty, I have returned from the furthest reaches of your glorious empire and bring you tidings from the system of Arcturus.
Is that one of ours?
It is now, Majesty. May the constellations of your empire snake across the sky like spirochetes through the body of a syphilitic astronaut.
This had better be good. I haven't forgotten the incident with the space potato.
Majesty, I bring you technology from the Arcturians, a peaceful and not an attractive race. They succumbed quickly to our heat rays and sexually transmitted diseases.
Show me.
Here, Majesty, is a cloaking device capable of rendering your feats invisible at the flick of a switch. It is as if it never existed.
How will I find it, then? It may as well have never existed. Next.
Very well, Majesty. Next, I present an anti-grav pad, capable of removing gravity from any object, thus making it readily transportable.
A bit dangerous, isn't it?
Dangerous?
One could bang one's head on the ceiling. Next.
Oh, for pity's sake. Just a minute.
So you see how terrible things are. England has dominated half the galaxy due to your provision of high technology back in time.
Yes, all right. I've seen enough.
How about a thing for getting rid of the fluff off pullovers?
Already got one. Put him in the tower.
An electric apple corer.
Tower.
You've had it in for me ever since that bloody potato.
Tower.
I never said you were supposed to eat it.
Welcome back to the Home of the Future. where we look into the far distant future and the year 2000 to poke around in people's private business. In the future, this will be commonplace, and so isn't nearly as creepy as it sounds. And here's our guide for today's trip, Nancy. Hello, Nancy. Have you put on weight, Nancy? I expect it's all those calories in your futuristic diet. Never mind, just so long as you're happy with your body image. Today we're going to look at the living room, which is where Nancy's family will spend most of their time while they're waiting for Nancy to finish in the kitchen. This is where the house's comprehensive entertainment systems are contained. You'll notice there are no light switches in this room. That's because everything in our house of the future is voice activated. Just saying, curtains, closes them. And saying, lights, plunges the room into darkness. Lights. Oh dear, Nancy. Did you fall over the glass coffee table and get blood all over your new dress? Why don't you change out of it? No one can see in. The curtains are closed. Oh dear, did I make them open? And look, Nancy, there are all your neighbours standing out on the front lawn waving at you. They look surprised. I expect they thought you were out. This isn't the only voice-activated system in the room, is it, Nancy? I expect you're wondering what the next one is. Play. Stop! That was loud, wasn't it, Nancy? I expect your teenage son has left his rock and roll music on full volume. What's that, Nancy? You've got ringing in your ears. It will pass in a couple of days. I said, it will pass. Never mind.
10 Second Movie Theatre presents Creatures of the Night.
Oh, is that you?
Yes, can't see a blasted thing out here.
The end.
I was just calling to see if you'd heard back from the audition.
It's not good news, Frank.
You did make it clear I played a similar role in the theatre.
Oh, I did.
And that aside from an outburst of giggling in Golders Green, it was well received.
Well, this is cinema, Frank. It's a different game.
Oh, but I did Fangs for the Memory, especially to restore credibility to my name. It was only bad luck that it didn't get the West End run.
This is the Atomic Age, Frank. Cinema is the new theatre.
You told them I do my own makeup. I keep a copy of my own head in a travel bag that I practice on regularly.
Oh, no, I didn't tell him that, Frank. It's creepy.
I've always prized my makeup skills. That's why I'm not recognised in the street, you know, despite all those Hollywood films I've done.
Look, don't worry, Frank. Some of it'll come along.
I'll keep sending the scripts. If nothing else, I'm running out of toilet paper.
I've got a part as a giant moth in Towards the Light.
Oh, send it on. Could be right up my street.
Hello, Mrs. Humby. Finley Morden, paranormal investigator. We spoke on the telephone. This is your recording studio?
Yes, Mr. Morton. Please come in. We've been picking up a distant repetitive moaning on the recordings and thought you might be able to help.
I specialise in moaning, shrieking and guttural cries. With your attuned ear, can you characterise the noises you heard?
A sound in B-flat and a little rhythmic percussion. Do you play an instrument, Mr. Morton?
Well, my instinct is bass, but I do a bit of fiddling.
Oh, the violin. I love violins. There's nothing I like more than to do a little number with my G-string.
Maybe we could do a duet sometime.
Perhaps. We are one man short in our quartet at present. Are you married, Mr. Morton?
I am, although my wife is having an affair with her dance instructor. She claims he seduced her, but if you ask me, it takes two to tango.
This way.
What are the most common messages you receive from the recently dead?
Well, usually they're just trying to reassure those that are left behind.
What information do they convey?
Information?
Well, do they say where their lost will is, or secret stash of money?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Did I say I can bend spoons too?
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. Welcome home. I hope you don't mind, but I've subscribed us to a wonderful new service called Facebook.
Facebook, you say? What is this nonsense?
It's a wonderful new system that allows us to spy on the people we know.
Well, that's a terribly good idea. Is it free?
Nothing's free, darling.
Hello, I'm one of your wife's Facebook friends.
Come on in. Oh, look, there are lots of you.
I'm Veronica, an old school friend.
I don't remember you.
I was 4 years below you, smiley face, and had a terrible crush on you, frowning face. But I'm all over that now, smiley face. Just a phase, exclamation mark, exclamation mark.
Excuse me, do you mind? That's my address book.
Well, you should have made it private if you didn't want me to steal it all.
Ah! Have cap caps lock stuck on, totally ruining my life.
Well, while I'm here, I'll have your records too.
Oh, I've just broken up with my boyfriend. I think I'm going to slit my wrists. Unhappy face, added by Veronica 6 seconds ago.
Oh, don't do that. We've just had a new stair carpet fitted.
Tell me you love me.
Oh, I can't do that.
Tell me you love me, or I'll top myself.
Okay, I love you.
Oh, thank you. In a relationship, smiley face. Oh, BTW, here's a compromising photograph of you from sixth form.
Crikey, how exactly do you know my wife?
It's complicated.
Ghost News and William Dewey Decimal wrote to tell us of mysterious goings-on at the Three Feathers Inn in Ross-on-Wye. The story goes that due to an accident involving a pair of towel hooks, a bride was blinded on her wedding night. On the anniversary of this tragic event, you can hear her moving about upstairs, bumping into the furniture. According to her daughter Amanda, Mrs. Hurd of Peterborough was entirely consumed by flames in a case of spontaneous human combustion. She's still trying to claim all the house insurance. William Brown tells us that he saw an enormous armor-clad spectral army in the sky over Farduck Mountain at 7 o'clock one Saturday. Apparently, they all came back the following Tuesday, but he said not to rush down because it was a repeat.
And behold, the world of 1951 as it is after you've meddled with the future.
It looks exactly the same as before.
Yes, admittedly, first impressions aren't great here, but trust me, under the surface, things are very, very different.
What's happened to all the technology from the Elizabethan era?
Well, there was this big fire in London, and it set them back a few millennia. They even called it the Big Fire of London.
The Great Fire of London?
Don't be daft. What's great about a fire? You an arsonist or something? Now, let's focus on the matter in hand, shall we? Behold your wife.
Well, all I can say is thank goodness my husband went off on one of his time-travelling antics. Although, on the downside, I do miss George terribly, and those wonderful things he could do with a breadstick.
So you see, you've left your wife to all this squalor.
More champagne, everyone.
She seems to be managing.
But she said how terribly she was missing you.
George was my assistant.
Oh, I see. Well, let's focus on the other things that are wrong in the year 1951. Homosexuality is illegal. Bullying is considered a rite of passage. Corporal punishment is used in schools. And it's considered legal for a man to beat his wife and children.
All those things were true anyway.
Were they? Oh, well, we should move on to the future then. Hold on to your lunch.
I'm Amelia Boldheart, Space Cadet, and I challenge you chaps to a game of billiards.
It's Amelia Boldheart. She can do anything a man can do.
Right. Let's give ourselves liver failure.
She drinks.
I bloody love you, man.
She vomits. She fights.
Take that, possible Nazi sympathiser.
No, me false legs!
What are you chaps doing?
We're just playing with our testicles.
I've had a false pair made out of a rabbit. Mind if I join you?
It's Amelia Boldheart. She can do anything a man can do.
I'm pregnant.
Amelia Boldheart is wasting her life. Coming soon to a welfare office near you.
On the wall over the fireplace is a television. Due to miniaturisation and valve technology, the televisions of the future have been vastly reduced in size, and this one is only 1 inch across. To let you watch it, people of the future will wear special magnifying glasses that mean they can sit anywhere in the room and still be able to watch the programme. People will compete to see how small their televisions are, and this will become more important than love or family. In the future, all television programmes will be in 3D, and scientists say there could be as many as 6 stations, but no more than this because otherwise the programmes will be rubbish. Due to relaxations in standards, all programmes will be drunken people saying words that you can't say on the radio, and hitting each other. I expect you'd like to go on a programme like this, wouldn't you, Nancy? No? Well, that's bad luck, because in the future everyone has to go on television, whether they like it or not. In the corner is the rubbish disposal unit. This catapults all your household rubbish into low Earth orbit, where it will eliminate the possibility of space travel and blot out the sun with the effluent of our own massive consumption. Nancy, you look concerned that your children could accidentally wander into the device and be thrown into the cold vacuum of space. Well, with all the diseases eradicated, there's got to be some way of getting rid of people from our dirt-clogged, overpopulated planet, hasn't there? The last item we'll look at today is called a sofa bed. This is because it's not as comfortable as a sofa and not as nice as a bed. To turn it from a sofa into a bed, simply fold out the bottom, pull the levers down, lift the frame up and then slide out. Oh, that looks nasty, Nancy. Never mind. I expect the fire brigade will be able to get you out of there. In the world of the future, ambulances take much longer to get there because they're all occupied with moving old people around. I'm sure one will be with you soon. Night-night, Nancy. Night-night.
Is this where the incident occurred?
Yes. It began last Sunday.
Always on a Sunday?
Yes.
Were you alone?
Yes. My husband is a pianist and he spends most Sundays showing off his organ in the church. He draws quite a crowd. Here is a photograph. I knew it was a mistake from the day we were married. When he first kissed me at the altar and the little organ began to swell and fill the room, he got quite carried away.
You don't share his fascination with his organ?
Sometimes I find it moving, but it mostly leaves me cold.
I see. Above here is your spare room, I assume?
Yes.
I think we have an open and shut case. Your husband is having an affair, using your dislike of his solo performances as an alibi. The photo reveals to me through the body language of him and his page-turner that this is no one-man band. The sounds picked up by your instruments are the two of them practicing a rhythmic instrumental together in your spare room. The reedy rasping is her exercising on his clarinet.
My goodness.
Goodness indeed. Your husband means to be competitive with you, so I suggest you do likewise. You currently have a trio. I'd like to make it a foursome. You have an opening, and this is where I come in. I'll slot in my little instrument, and we'll see if we can't wipe the smile off his face. What do you say?
Mr. Morton!
10 Second Movie Theatre presents The Man Who Fell to Earth. The end.
Travel forward to the year 2011. Here you will find a word split asunder by regional accents. Worse still, humankind has become subservient to dogs and now follow them around with little plastic bags and scoops, picking up their waste product for them. The population now live corralled in small areas called postcodes.
Why is that?
We're not entirely sure, but we think it's the fault of the liberals. Look, I'm pressed for time. I'm about to have had an appointment with my younger self, and it's legal, I've checked. Anyway, I'm prepared to let this whole thing go, as long as you promise not to use the time machine.
You're essentially saying that I shouldn't travel back in time because it could change the timeline?
That's it.
Although you've presumably travelled back in time and changed what is presumably the established timeline in your own time. Is that right?
Well, yes.
In which case you won't have travelled back to me. That's creating a paradox and bringing into question your very existence.
Well, I suppose one trip can't do any harm.
Well, Dalrymple, remind me. How long have I been your tutor at Cambridge now?
About 5 minutes, sir.
Excellent. Excellent. You seem like a man of fine character. I wonder, would you be interested in working for your country?
How do you mean exactly, sir?
Well, Dalrymple, when I walk around the town, I see certain undesirables everywhere. I know not everyone notices them, but I do. Now, these undesirables are everywhere I look, Dalrymple. They attach themselves to you, and before you know it, they're in your shops, in your workplace, in your very home. I am part of a society that is dedicated to disposing of these undesirables. Would you like to join us?
Yes, sir.
Good.
May I say, it's an honour to be recruited into counterintelligence.
Counterintelligence? Oh, my dear boy, you've misunderstood. I want you to pick up the dog turds in the high street.
Welcome to this week's amazing episode of Planet of the Cats.
Minister, the Persians have been scent-marking in our territory again.
Damn them, Chamberlain. They've just been taking advantage of our drop in popular support following the Catnip Gate scandal.
That's the intruder alarm. Someone's broken into the basket.
Execute the emergency drill. Everyone make themselves look bigger.
Sorry. It was just me. Just an accident.
You fool. There is a reason we make you wear a bell around your neck. Why do I have to deal with such imbeciles like you? All I long for is a little place in the sun. Oh, look, there's one. Time for a nap.
But, Minister, what about the Persians?
Leave them alone, you Manx idiot.
Racist.
Tune in next time for another amazing episode of Planet of the Cats.
This is a public safety announcement. Don't touch that. Put it back. What were you thinking?
Oh, I wish our Facebook friends wouldn't stare through the front window like that.
I don't think those are our friends, dear. Those are just voyeurs because we didn't make our profiles private.
Oh! Someone just poked me.
Hello, darling.
Anyone know software to change a child's face from crying to laughing? My kid is totally ruining my Facebook photos.
Who are you?
Who are you mean? I'm you. Or rather, I'm the real version of the person you're pretending to be. Look, I have all your bank account details to prove it. What's more, I have some incriminating photographs of myself, if I ever need to use them.
You can't be me. You've got a moustache.
I am too. I have your mother's maiden name and an electricity bill, so that proves it.
Heard song at disco goes beep-a-dee-a-dee-beep-a-dee-beep. Anyone know what it is?
Gosh, this raises some interesting philosophical questions.
Indeed it does. Perhaps we should step outside and discuss them.
I think there's an app for that.
10 Second Movie Theatre presents The Day the Earth Froze.
Oh, I'm as chilly out here.
The end.
Ronald, what do you say to the accusations that you're just a talentless publicity seeker who manipulates vulnerable people in society and who has no moral conscience or responsibility?
Well, when I look into the future, the distant future, and I can see into the future, I see everyone's cashing in, so why shouldn't I?
Now, where was I? Oh yes, Elizabeth! Elizabeth, come quickly!
What is it, darling?
You must be the first to witness my incredible new invention, the time machine.
A time machine?
Yeah. sorry. I must overcome that nervous laugh I have when giving good news.
Yes, darling. It could be misunderstood at press conferences.
I'm going to be in all the textbooks. I'll be on everybody's lips. Well, not me, but my name. My name will be on everybody's lips. Me, Northrop P. Elgar Fitzgerald J.D. Meringue Basket J. Spasm P. Gantry.
About that...
Yes?
Nothing. Can we travel back in time to the 1930s? I'd love to see all the outrageous fashions, all those greys.
Yes. Look, all we have to do is throw this switch. But what's that?
Look, it's a completely identical time machine to yours.
Gantry, stop it at once. Do not throw that switch. I'm your later self, and I've come back to tell you not to use the time machine.
What? What on earth for? You set the controls wrong. By travelling backward in time, you accidentally castrate your own father and prevent your own birth.
Well, that's terrible.
You're telling me. So either don't use the time machine or take that sharp bit off the corner.
But wait. By travelling back in time, you've inadvertently created another paradox.
I have?
Yes. Look, if I don't now travel backward in time, then you'll have no reason to come here and warn me. I must travel forward in time to warn you not to travel backward in time to warn me. Stop this at once.
What now?
I'll come back to warn you that in setting the controls to warn yourself not to travel back and warn yourself not to travel back in time, you've created another paradox.
No, you fool. Don't you see? By travelling back to warn him, you've created a paradox.
Oh, damn it. And how do I know you're really me?
What?
You could be an imitation sent by my arch nemesis.
But I look like you and sound like you. I've got a time machine exactly like yours.
Okay, tell me something only I would know. I had an affair with my lab assistant Laura 2 weeks ago.
Oh!
No, not that! Oh, for God's sake!
I suppose she's up for a foursome, dude.
I'm leaving you. All of you. And I'm taking Digby the electric dog with all his attachments.
No, wait!
Leave her. There's nothing you can do with her that you can't do with us.
No, I must concentrate. I must travel back into the past. Stop this from ever happening!
Stop that! I am the result of you accidentally travelling too far back in time and sleeping with your own mother, resulting in a change to your own DNA. I'm here to stop you from travelling back. Oh, damn. I've done it again, haven't I? Wait! You mustn't warn him about the travelling back thing!
Too late!
Wait! Don't warn him about the whole warning thing!
Hold everything! I am the bastard offspring of your male and female selves! You must stop this meddling in time thing altogether! Who the hell are you lot? Am I too late?
Right. I am here to warn you not to try and warn you about the warning not to travel back and sleep with... No. That's not right. I'll come in again.
So the next time you experience déjà vu, that history repeats itself, or that there's a new documentary on Channel 5 that claims to be new and yet you're sure you've heard it all before, or you experience déjà vu, or that history repeats itself, but remind yourself that we are not alone. We are not alone are Timothy Hounsome, Amy Hughes, Leisha Walsh, John Thrower, and the silicon-based life form Matthew Nation. It was written by John Thrower with contributions from the cast and edited by Nathan Rowe. Music and the show features Ominous by Kevin MacLeod and the We Are Not Alone theme by Andrew Webb. Visit our website at www.wearenotalone.co.uk. but it must be 5 o'clock somewhere.